Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Dukes and Bell. We are live inside of the Ticketmaster Studios. Each and every week, we get a chance to talk to our head coach, Raheem Morris. This is an interesting week, to say the least, because we now know the extent of our quarterback's injury, Michael Penix Jr. Coach, welcome in, first and foremost. We want to start there because Mike and I have been spending a lot of time on this. I want to ask you, as it's being reported, that Michael Penix needs reconstructive ACL surgery, despite it being a partial tear. Can you elaborate on this?
Sure. You never want to jump the gun on any of these things, you know, so you never really want to answer. It's kind of like when you slow play from the beginning before you get the second opinion and all those type of things. He has a partially torn ACL. You know, they're going to go in, they're going to take the ACL and repair the ACL, which means reconstructive surgery on the ACL injury. You know, the thing you do, these, the reason you do this is so you can avoid worst injury possibly to the young man and do it in a timely fashion so he can be ready to go in a timely fashion as quickly as possible. And we feel great about it. We feel great about the decision from the doctors. We feel great about the decision from the second opinion and all the things, that steps that you had to go through before you make those decisions and put it out there and tell people, because you want those things to be done the right way and you want to handle those things obviously with soft gloves. And the way we're doing it, with the expectations of getting Michael back even better and stronger and faster, and some of the things that he's already shown us from his 2020 knee injury on the other knee.
Right.
And now what's happening with this one, and we got a lot of confidence that he can be able to bounce back and give us great play and give us great, you know, time off and be ready to come back, if that makes sense.
I mean, we talked about going back to the summer and just what a leader he is on the team. We talked about that scrap with the Titans. And, you know, I saw how he almost looked disconsolate talking to Dave Archer after the loss in Berlin, because he, you know, wears his heart on his sleeve. And to be up 14 points in this game, and he's 13-16, it's just, he just, I mean, we're all pulling for the kid, but he's got to be lower than low.
So I think last week was a big time week for him in his growth and his maturity and his development. You know, we came off the heartbreaking loss in Berlin, and he was visibly shaken and upset. And he had a week of preparation where he's able to talk to all of us across the building in the organization about, you know, having a hands-on approach and how do you handle those things and how do you be more involved with our offense. And last week, to watch him go and execute and to come in the offices and be able to sit down and talk to a bunch of different people about a bunch of different things and really grow, and then to watch it start to come to life in that first half. You know, he went down three times in a row, scored three straight touchdowns, came out in the second half, and unfortunately that's when the injury happened and wasn't able to return. But you felt like that was going to be a turning point for him, you know, and hopefully, obviously, with him, that would be our football team.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, got hurt, you know, but, like, I don't want that growth and that development to get lost and lose sight of that. And for me, I was more just hurt for the kid. I was more hurt for him. I was more hurt for the experience that he has to go through and having to go through that again. But he is a tough dude, man. He is he is meant for this. He's made for this. He'll bounce back, and he'll be ready to go. And we can't wait to get him back. But in the meantime, we got to go out there with Kirk Cousins and get a win.
Let's talk about Coach making plays. We look at these games, especially the last few, and literally we're a few plays away. I know it doesn't mean anything because we didn't win. But I got to ask you this, because partly as we see this and we view this, is you call a play, not you, but Zach. Let's just use as an example. The guy is open. You throw it to him. He misses the ball. Play's there to be had. We don't execute. And that gets back to, for many people, is that coaching or is that just players not making plays? And a lot of this has been, well, coaching is a part of that. And I'm just curious, how do you view that? Because it feels like for the last few weeks, that's kind of been our lot in life. Play's there to be made. We don't make it. But yet, it comes back to bite us. And a lot of people are wondering, like, what's the deal? Why are our guys not making those plays? It's football. But the other side of it is, how much of it is coaching?
You know, you take it, you never point fingers in this game. So the coach is always going to say there's something you can do better, you know, timing, detail, discipline, whatever the case may be on the route concept, whatever it is. And the player's never going to point the finger at the coach. They're always going to say they got to catch that ball, they can make that play, they can do those things. So, like, I think the whole thing is just the accountability of it all and all working together and being able to come together to make those plays. And, like, you just mentioned it. You know, we got a bunch of different opportunities out there with a bunch of different people, and those things have to happen. And you have to make those plays. And there's sometimes where the person that's taking the blame is absolutely right. And then there's other times he's not. But you got to have the love and the feeling that you want to have a way of helping every single person. And, like, when I'm talking about our guys, when I'm talking about our guys in place, I take all of that. Like, I got to be able to help those guys make those plays and get a chance to make them do it better. And why can we do it better? Giving them more reps, giving them more opportunities. How can you make those opportunities even better? Make it more competitive. Make it as hard as you can possibly make it. And, like, you're always going to wear it on your sleeve. And with whoever dropped the ball, whoever didn't make the play, they're always going to wear it on their sleeve. And I think that's the signs of, like, the people you want to be around, the kind of character that you bring in the building.
Talking with Raheem Morris, guys, inside the Ticketmaster Studios. And we've talked about this with you before, but for guys that are new to the show, didn't hear it, your involvement on game day, you coach defense, you know secondary. When you're seeing a guy like Bryce Young just lighting us up, are you leaning into Brick and the assistants going, hey, we got to – what's going on here? Are you giving input because you're seeing things going south?
So was the tale of two halves, right? You came out and it wasn't lighting you up. You were actually doing a great job of shutting them down, keeping it calm, and then there was some explosive plays happens. And that was the game of explosive plays. Made a big play at the end of the half. We ended up holding the three. Big explosive play to get down and holding the three. You come back out in the second half and they make a couple explosive plays that shouldn't happen. And it's based on getting tired, discipline, some calls. It's the same thing we just talked about. Like, it's all over the place. So you can be able to talk about those things with them. And, like, we got, like, an accountable group. So, like, if it was a player's fault, that player was able to say it, communicate it right away. When it was a coach's fault or a bad call, there's no shock around that either. So, like, when we are on that side of the ball and you're fighting, you did see a couple of great plays. There were too many explosives given up to allow them to get that many yards passing down the field. I mean, the two big fourth down stops at the end of the game, in those crutch situations, we turned the ball over on a kickoff and they were able to go out there and get a four and out. I mean, there were some dynamic moments. So you can't say you were in the second half feeling desperate the whole time, but one too many big plays, particularly in the passing game, and that can't happen.
Coach, I'll be damned. We're second in sacks in the league. And it's something I know you heard when you got the job, and we talked about, oh, we got to get the quarterback. We got to get the quarterback. We're getting the quarterback. How frustrating is it to you to see that number and to see the guys and the effort, but yet we're not getting the results? Because that's something everybody wanted to see more of, and we're doing it.
It's time. And it's our time. And we got to go out there and get it done. And, like, I say this to you a million times. I've told you this a million times. Stats is for losers.
Not that one, Coach. And we're second in sacks. Coach, we hadn't been second. But we hadn't been second in sacks in forever.
It is what it is. We need more wins.
Correct.
You know, we need more wins, and that's the stat that matters. And, like, we have to go get it done. And that's a nice stepping stone. That's a nice step that we've taken when it comes to those things. But we need better, and we have to have better across the board.
What do you think's missing there, Coach? I mean, like, the sacks are not – a lot of people think that translates to what you're talking about, wins, right? You're getting more sacks, you're getting off the field, all the things. You're getting off the field on third down. What's missing there, in your opinion?
You got to make the moment. You got to play the play at the moment. We just talked about the big explosive plays, and, like, if you take away one of those big explosive plays or two of them, you're talking about a different result. And, like, you don't know which play it's going to be, but that's how our game is played. That's what the game is every single week.
When you have a conversation, anyway, the private conversation with Arthur Blank, and we have not heard from Mr. Blank on this season yet, but, I mean, this is something we talked about a few weeks ago with you, and I said, why don't you yell at some of these guys? You said, that's not your style. But do you feel there's some bad habits are creeping in when it comes to execution? Have you ever felt the need to maybe pull somebody, sit them, send a message to the team? Is that just not, you don't feel it's worth that smoke, or that's just not your style?
We pulled a bunch of people, you know. We've sat a bunch of people. You know, we've done all those things. You know, we're just not the ones that openly tell you about it. You know, like, if you creatively find out what happened and you're able to get into the deep weeds of how you go about your business and how you go out there and you make those changes, because everybody's going to be needed. There's different areas of the football field where people got to play, and it's going to be done in the most respectful fashion, in my opinion, because we got to go out there. We're going to need everybody at some point. These things happen across the board every single day. And these things have to be handled with straight, open conversations. And, like, you know, where communication lacks, you know, that's where negativity fills the void. And, like, there's not a guy in the building that can tell you that they don't know exactly where they stand on a daily basis and how we're going to go about our business and how we're going to try to plan to win.
So why are these guys clutch?
You know, that's what you got to have. You know, you got to make those plays. You got to be clutch. You got to have those moments. You know, like, you're not saying anything that's not the truth. You know, that hadn't happened in the last couple of weeks. You know, we could talk about all the plays where in just in the last 3 weeks where we could have won the football game if we make them. You know, we have to make those plays. And, like, that's got to happen. We need those plays to be made.
Coach, how does this offense look different with Kirk back as a starter? When I say that, more play action, more of him under center, less pistol? I don't know. I'm asking from that standpoint, does it look that much different?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay.
Right? So, like, you got to do all those things that he's done well in his past. You got to do all those things that you know he's capable of doing. And, like, he's been an up and under center quarterback for most of his career. He's done some things in the pistol, obviously, with us. Obviously, when he's under the center, he can opens up play action for him that way. He's been of a keeper guy. But you want to do some things that he can do and some things that he's going to do well, right? And, like, we can do all of those things with him. And, like, we'll go out there. What he's done really well for us since he's been here when he got us to a 6-3 record is he was peppering completions all over the field, peppering to a point of a record. And, like, he can go out there and win in a bunch of different ways, but, like, we got to go out there and cater to him and do what he does best, and our football team's ready to do that.
How's the receiver core? How's Mooney? I mean, who's the next man up? Because we know Drake is likely not going to go at all, maybe 2 weeks for Drake.
You know, obviously, we need Mooney. You know, we need Mooney to go out there and make some plays for us. We need him to go out there and do a bunch of different things for us in order to win. You know, obviously, David Seals has stepped up for us in a big way, not just with all the receptions, but really with all the things he's able to do and move around and get some of the blocking things going on. So he'll be called upon with Drake being out and doing all those type of things for us. And then, obviously, Bijan. Bijan is always – he's called on to do everything, right? So he'll be called on to do some of those things in Kyle Pitts. You know, Kyle Pitts has to step back up and do a bunch of major part of his job, and we'll expect those guys to do those things. We got playmakers across the board, and Ty Lajeer and a bunch of different guys that can go out there and make plays for us, and we'll call some other people on. And like we just talked about, there'll be people that have to be called up to make those plays, and people that have to be called up and be put in those clutch situations. You got to be clutch.
With the injuries, will you rely or lean on Bijan more?
You know, you always lean on Bijan, so it's hard to say you're going to lean on him more, you know, but you definitely want to go out there and figure out how to get him the ball, get him his touches. That's always going to be first and foremost in the game plans.
Right.
And then other than that is how do you complement that with Tyler, and then how do you get the ball to all your playmakers down the field and to be able to create some of those explosives, because those explosives really have you get down the field. Like, you know, the thing that we've cleaned up the biggest in the last 3 weeks is our red zone offense and being able to score touchdowns. I think we were 6 of 6 or whatever it's been, and you got to get down there more. So, like, let's find a way to do those things. We were close on third down last week before Mike went out until we hit skid row in the second half kind of with the third downs. But, like, you know, we had the ability to go out there and clean up some of that stuff and, like, let's go show it again and get this win.
5 or 6 plays every game. You've talked about it. Arch has talked. We've talked about it. If we can get those plays, and that's – it gets back to – by the way, have you talked with Terry – what's your conversation with Terry Fontenot? Because the perception is you guys are attached at the hip and things have to improve.
I was going to ask which one. you know, Terry and I definitely communicated at a very high level about everything. You know, we communicate about all the things that's happening. You know, right now, obviously, the big conversation this week has been the quarterback. Obviously, the big conversation has been, you know, how are we going to take care of the quarterback? You know, what's going to be the plans moving forward with the quarterback when he comes back? Because he's going to come back strong, and how, you know, how we want to make sure he's still developing throughout the whole process. You know, obviously, there's going to be some downtime. There's going to be some downtime there, but obviously, you know, how do we keep that ship rolling with the quarterback being out? And not talking about just the Kirk Cousins things. Obviously, that's the obvious part for him. But how are we going to maintain Michael staying sharp, Michael being well in tune with everything. So the communication with him, communication with his agent, all the people that are involved, you know, all the doctors that are involved in those things. So that's been a major thing that we've obviously talked about the last couple of days. So, there's not a thing we don't talk about. So you can pretty much chalk that for everything.
A few more questions, Coach, before we let you go about New Orleans. Before we get to that 5-game losing streak, what's it like in the building and what you expect to learn about your team?
You know, I don't there is a 5-game losing streak. But you wouldn't know walking through the building because, you know, there's just a bunch of guys that are accountable that are not allowed to happen. And that's coaches and players alike, you know, and the people in the building. You know, this is not that type of place. You know, this building is built on, you know, tough, you know, people first mentality. And that comes all the way from the top. So, like, when we get a chance to go out there and participate in the practice field or participate in the game, like, it's going to be everything that we got all for each other. And I think that's a major part of how this building works.
You know, we don't like New Orleans. You know this rivalry well. Doesn't matter what our record is, what their record is, your expectations heading into Sunday with a team that, you know, again, records don't matter, right? They're going to show up and they're going to play us hard. What do you think about this New Orleans team and what you've seen so far on tape?
You know, obviously we don't like them, like you just said. I mean, that's there's no secret there. A bunch of people you respect.
Sure.
You know, obviously, just based on everything they've done, done a nice job with the new coaching staff. They've been able to go out there and really build things the right way and get guys going on. And, you know, the young quarterback is playing well or getting better, I should say, and that's a big process of it as well. The defense got some savvy vets on it that's been out there, and they've been coached by Brandon Staley, so we know that defense well, and some of the people over there coaching that defense got respect for those guys. They're going to come in and want to play. We're going to go there, and we got to play. And we don't like them, and it's no secret.
Hey, you get a bounce. Is Divine Diablo, can we expect to see him on Sunday?
Back, man. Let's go.
Oh,
good to hear.
Divine Diablo.
Yeah, you guys are slipping, man.
Oh, man. Hey, man. We've been waiting for a minute.
Our energy's a little low right now.
We've been waiting for a minute. Look, man, this Penix thing, you know the deal. I mean, we're just all working through it.
I just hate it for this guy. I hate it for the kid. Because
yeah, man, tell me about it. Yeah,
you know,
he said, tell me about it.
You hate it for the kid. That's awesome.
I hate it for
I feel bad for you.
He's a great kid.
Raheem Morris.
Well, we feel bad for you. Go get a dub. Man,
appreciate you. Just had
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
A great conversation with Coach. We'll replay that for you here in about an hour because interesting stuff said about our quarterback, Michael Penix, and the situation there. And with the voice of our Atlanta Falcons on the line, who joins us on a weekly basis, Wes Durham. Wes, we want to start this conversation with you in that same place, and that is the injury to Penix. Now that we know it's official, you know, and Coach, look, he's not going to say that it's a kick in the gut. I kind of know that, but you do feel like, hey, this you got to pick some guys up this week and get everybody back because you just, you know, you don't want to hear this about your quarterback. Tell me your thoughts about this for our football team and what you're thinking about Cousins taking over or taking back over at quarterback.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's one of those weird circles that you go through, right? Because you made this change a year ago with three games to go. Then, you know, Michael got banged up before the Miami game, so Kirk quarterbacked that game. And now Michael's out for the year, so Kirk is back. And it's weird the web we've weaved, right, just in terms of these two guys. And so I'll be interested to see a couple of things. One, you know, what works in the catalog offensively with Kirk that we didn't see much of with Michael and vice versa, right? I mean, just kind of how this game's going to unfold because, and ironically, this is the place Kirk got hurt last year. Of course, we didn't know how bad it was because nobody really let on to that at the time. But, you know, now we go back to New Orleans in a situation where, you know, I think Dave pointed this out earlier this week on the Falcons Audible podcast. I think they were 7-3 playing in New Orleans last year, or 6-3 playing in New Orleans last year, and now they're 3-7 with 7 to go. So, yeah, there's a lot of different little elements to this that make it interesting. But for me, you know, Raheem's probably right, and I saw some of his presser today when he said, you know, as much as you hate it for Penix, and you do, you got to, you know, spot the ball and go play. And that's going to be – that has to be Atlanta's attitude this week because there is no other choice in terms of that, I think.
And that's the thing, Wes, and again, we appreciate – again, have cut Wes short. We'll get Wes back on next segment. If you got time, because Jalen Walker just walked in the room. So appreciate that. Hey, man. What's up, man? Good to see you, superstar. Yeah, man.
We'll give you right. And we'll re-grab Wes here and get his thoughts as we move forward. But as Jalen walks in the room, we got to chop it up. How about them dogs, first and foremost?
We can just talk dogs if you want, though.
I mean, let's just stay in that realm, Jalen.
Yeah.
Man, first of all, for you individually, I'm assuming it was tough to not go through camp the way you wanted to and start the season going through the injury stuff that you were dealing with. But, man, you look so far past that now. Talk about that journey for you here in your rookie season, because coming in, you know this, there have been high expectations for what we expected from you, the fan base, and everybody's like, man, Jalen's balling. What's this process been like for you?
Yeah, you know, just sticking to the grind, you know, making myself available to begin with, you know, that energy. The injury is no fun for anybody, but knowing myself, you know, I had to protect myself, you know, just the way person I am, you know, always on go, trying to be full speed all the time, finally getting back to that 100% mark for me was a big deal. And, of course, each week the progression of, you know, just staying on the grind, being in the book, staying on the field, you know, just getting better every single week.
Because guys were asking us and say, look, we can't lie. We had to get to see Jalen because the soft tissue injuries, to your point, take forever. And then, man, to see what you did, like the New England game, that's a big-time NFL play.
Strip sack!
Same thing, you know, and you do it in Berlin, too. So, I mean, feel like you're getting – I mean, Georgia fans know what you're capable of. Now you feel like you're 100%. You can do this stuff every week.
Yeah, you know, it's just the opportunity to just be out there is something I look forward to every single week.
How was that Berlin experience, man? Because I was in the stands.
Right.
It was goosebumps for me. What was it like being on the
field?
It
was surreal. And I took a couple moments, you know, before the game just to look around because, you know, the history that would happen within the stadium, the history of football being played in Berlin and just me being out there in general. You know, that was just an opportunity that people don't get.
Right.
Jalen, four sacks on the season, guys. We're talking to Jalen Walker here live at Flowery Branch as we get ready for the Saints. The injury to our quarterback, man, Michael Penix. I mean, what's the mood been like? What's the situation? Have you had a chance to talk to him?
Right. You know, I haven't seen Mike, but, you know, I know Mike is still rooting his own. You know, he was still our quarterback. He's still part of this team. And we're here as a team, as an organization, and standing behind him strong. You know, it's nobody likes to see anyone get injured, especially our quarterback. So, you know, him dealing with that, you know, much prayers and blessings towards him and his family going through what he has to go through.
You know, one thing about guys like Jalen Walker, who basically, you know, from your high school career, you know, all the way through to Georgia, you don't lose a lot of games. How tough is this from a mental standpoint? Because you're not used to this. It's certainly not playing for Kirby Smart.
Right. You know, it's a week-to-week thing. You know, you just got to focus on the week. You know, you can't dwell on losses that you had before.
Cause it's very Kirby-ish.
You can't go back to them.
That's very Kirby-ish.
You can't go back to them. And, of course, you know, you got to look for the Saints. You know, honestly, somebody asked me I was just at home doing a charity event for my foundation, giving away Thanksgiving dinners. And they asked me, who are you playing next week? And I told them, I have no idea. Just because the Saints is the main topic for the week.
Yeah. As far as you and James Pierce, man, what's it been like? I mean, you are the two guys that a lot of people feel like are the foundation of the building blocks of this defense for years to come, hopefully. And you're both of you guys, you know, the development there and working together and your relationship. What's it like?
It's great. The progress of the relationship has built since the day we first seen each other coming off the plane, being able here to walk through Flowery Branch and, you know, just seeing him grow, seeing myself grow each week. We push each other to the maximum just to get better and be that extra, take that extra step to, you know, get out on the field and have success.
Is he crazy?
He just like me.
No, I like it. I like it.
It's a dynamic duo, man. That plays at New England, I was just jumping up and down, losing my mind, that athleticism on display. And, I mean, you talk to what's the relationship with Olbrich? I mean, release the hounds. Dial up some more of that for me, Coach. How does that work as far as the game plan?
Right, you know, it's just,
you beating your man. That's it.
Yeah, it's one-on-one opportunities that we get. It comes through our scheme, you know, with the great scheme and game plan that we have in the beginning of the week and doing it all week long and executing it on Sunday. It's just like poetry in motion. Getting able to see that happen live is nice.
So as we talk about the defense and Jeff Olbrich, learning this defense, how much different has it been for you coming from college, or has it been very similar with what you guys did at Georgia from, and not just a schematic standpoint, maybe even the language or the calls itself?
Language different.
Okay.
Scheme different.
Okay.
But and also for myself, position is different. You know, that's another thing that simplified everything down for me just to hone in on one position this year. It has been very nice for myself, and especially on my mental, of me just being in my rookie season, you know, just getting along. It's been great, you know, just developing into that system and learning that scheme. You know, it's been a progress, but it's been a progress in the right direction.
You like that? Because you did play all over the place for Kirby, right? And then they came, you got here, and they said, I remember talking to coaches, and they said, look, he's going to play, he's going to do one thing. We want him to do it really well. You saying it made it easier for you, do you prefer that, or do you prefer to be in the middle, on the end, and in coverage, and all the stuff that you did at Georgia?
Yeah, I said this before. I'm a ball player, so if you put me on the edge, I'll play that edge. If you put me in the middle and want me to play multiple positions, I'll do that as well. But, you know, having the defense we have now with our inside backers, Caden and Devine, those guys coming back up this week, Devine coming back up this week, and especially just, you know, me just being on the edge, it's just great. You know, it's just playing complimentary football, because there's a lot of different keys and that the offense have to look at, and they can't slide to both sides. And that's always what I say. You can't slide to both sides, can't block everybody, can't come scot-free. So
right. One of the cool games this year, it seems like it's a century ago now, is up in Minnesota.
Right.
In that environment, which is just a bananas. And you, man, those people got quiet. There was no Viking horn. How much fun was that? I mean, because that seemed like it was like the coming out party where you really were throwing J.J. You're basically throwing people around like rag dolls in that game.
Yeah, it was an awesome experience. You know, I got the MO during the week that the Vikings have a great fan base, great stadium environment, in which it was. Don't get me wrong. You know, seeing that in an NFL stadium is surreal.
But like,
you know,
college vibe.
Correct. But, you know, at the end of the day, we got to take care of business ourselves. So we just did what we did and, you know, had the opportunity to get that win.
Right. Jalen Walker, what's up?
I was going to say, you got some downtime. Did you get to watch the whole Texas game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Why you got to say it like that?
Yeah, I did.
You see the way he shook his head? He's like, as a matter of fact, I did get a chance to watch all of that.
I did.
Well, you guys crushed them in Austin, right?
Right.
I mean, you remember that well, because, I mean, that was one of the first times that Georgia's going to Austin, handled business.
Correct.
I thought this was impressive in a different way because this year's team, Jalen, and you know this, unlike the couple of years that you were there, obviously, the expectation coming into the year was like, what are they going to be? How good the defense is going to be? I said this today. I've said it the last few days. I think they're playing the best football right now in the SEC, man. I really do. I think they're peaking at the right time.
Right.
You know about that. How important is that to, like, what you are in September is certainly not what you are come 1st of December.
You're right. Yeah, it's a progress throughout the season. You know, the buzz before the season, we don't know about the Georgia defense. We don't know about that. Me personally, everybody asks me, what do you think? I don't think anything, because I know the expectation in the building. One,
right.
I know the expectation in the players that we have. And mind you, I played with half the guys still there. So I still know the expectation that in the standard that they hold for themselves. So I felt no worry, no anxiousness going into the season, because I knew that what comes on the plate, they'll take care of.
Right. And they are peaking at the right time, period.
Yeah. You want to talk about those Tuesday practices? What's that, what they call that down there?
Bloody Tuesday.
Is it really that bad, man?
It is.
Y'all get after it like that?
We make sure that Tuesday is harder than the game. So we come in on Tuesday with your mind right, you know, knowing that this will be much harder than you will face on Saturday.
The quote that we loved, well, maybe Carl not so much, but the fact that you're coming to Georgia and some guys just want to check, you know, and you come to Georgia, you're going to hit. And that was basically a message to Texas and some of the other programs. But when you play there, I mean, there's just, it's an ethos, a philosophy. You got it. And people, they just take it to the next level, as you are.
Yeah. I mean, like Coach Smart says, if you don't want to come to Georgia, if you don't like it, you know, a tough coaching, it's not the place for you. And mind you, I live that. I lived that that lifestyle for those 3 years, and seen the guys before me live that lifestyle. The thing is, I love about Coach Smart, he doesn't change. With this new space, going into the NIL realm and things like that, I know that might change. But the way Coach Smart coaches and pushes those people to that standard, it will never change.
Jalen, man, loving what you're doing, brother, and continue the great work.
So good to see you out there, man.
It is. It's good to see you back out there doing your thing. We've been waiting and anxiously waiting to get you back on the field, so we appreciate you. Good luck against New Orleans, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate y'all.
All right. There he is, guys.
Yes,
Jalen Walker, go Dawgs. He said always. All right, we're coming back. We're live at Flowery, man. It's Dukes and Bell.
That 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hampering him from being able to practice as
much. And that's why when we were so hyped, and we are still hyped about James Pierce Jr., was we just got to see him, and he was doing things in practice. We never got to see Jalen until late by the time we didn't have access. And now you see it, man. He's just – and the guy is – everything he just heard in that interview,
love him.
The work ethic, everything that, you know, Kirby instills in Georgia players who make it to the NFL. Yeah, you're right. For most Falcon fans, Bijan on offense, him or Drake on offense. That's why when one of our listeners yesterday said, you know, if the injury is as serious as we now know it is for Michael Penix Jr., and we'll be lucky to have him in camp, let alone be able to go for week one, is some guys are saying a new GM might just blow this thing up and start moving pieces. There are some really good pieces that are the studs you build on this thing. And needless to say, Bijan for me, Drake, although some would say those become luxury items in a rebuild.
No, they
do. Because of the offensive nature, defense is different.
Yeah.
And you're also not as far along with Jalen and Pierce as far as their contracts.
I agree, but, you know, to think that you've got these guys in their rookie deals and they're being as productive as they are, and I think that's the other frustrating part about the Falcons this season so far. If you missed our interview with Coach Ra, it's coming up in less than 25 minutes from now. Stay tuned, as he said here with us, and tried to answer everything that we asked him in regards to our football team, specifically Michael Penix and what this offense is going to look like. Mike, you know, blatantly asked him about benching guys. You'll hear what he had to say about that as well. But I do think the other frustrating part about it is, Mike, you do look at some of these pieces. And if I went down the list of guys with the name value, right, and said, good player, good player, good player, you start to go, why are we in this five-game losing streak? Like, it's not that we don't have the talent here.
But it's funny. We were talking to a Falcons insider, about, you know, the play calls and the rhythm to it, you know, and why guys don't execute. You know, like, for instance, you know, if you're Kyle Pitts, for argument's sake,
yeah,
and it's Drake, because Penix has got the confidence in Drake, and so Drake's getting all these touches, and all of a sudden it's halfway through the first half, does Kyle Pitts check out? You know, and then when you finally do get him the ball and he's supposed to expect to make a play, he's not delivering. He's mentally out of it. The same thing that happened to Devontae Freeman in Super Bowl 51 when Tevin Coleman was in and Shanahan was running with him. He gets injured. They put Free in. Free doesn't pick up a blitz because he's sleepwalking. So, I mean, that's on you as the athlete. And there's only so many of the things the coaches can do. On the flip side, I would argue that Zach Robinson's got to get all his guys. If you know what you're dealing with and that is your horse that you got to lead to water, then you better know how to handle him.
Yes.
And get him involved in the game. Now, conversely, there's a freaking excuse for Berlin. They draw up a play to get Kyle Pitts the ball in space, wide open, and he drops the freaking ball. You know what I mean? So to me, as I said to you earlier in the week, he is the poster boy for everything wrong about this team when we're losing.
Yeah, because sometimes it makes you feel like he just doesn't have it. And then other times it makes you feel like when he goes, you know, 7 for 7, he's targeted 7 times, he catches 7 balls in a game, and you go, okay, why don't we do that more often? It can be very frustrating. Wes is back with us, guys, as he's going to join us here because we had a chance to talk to him just briefly, and then Jalen walked in, and we try to take the guys here at Flowery Branch as soon as they come in. So, Wes, we appreciate you jumping back on with us because we wanted to finish our conversation with you.
Sure.
With Jalen coming in, and he was great. We were just, you know, talking about the state of the franchise, obviously, and we were talking about Michael Penix and the injury. I'm not sure where we left off, but I want to pick up here, and that is Kirk Cousins taking over. And I asked Ra, how much different is this offense going to look? Do you feel like it will look different with Cousins under center on Sunday?
I do. Yeah, I don't know that it'll be dynamically different. I just think there's certain things that Kirk has a skill set for that's different than Michael. And I felt that way last year when we saw Michael for the last 3 games. And I don't know how much of it we saw in the Miami game because that thing just got, you know, kind of waffle-jawed, as they like to say, early, right? So, you know, we'll see what happens Sunday. I think the irony of this all happening in New Orleans is also an interesting storyline too, but does it really, you know, have anything to do with the here and now as much as it, you know, it's a place Kirk got hurt last year. We were 7-3 playing there last year. We're 3-6 or whatever. 6-3 last year. We're 3-7 this year, whatever the numbers are. I think that's an interesting piece of this. And look, stranger things have happened in the National Football League, right? But the math tells you that Atlanta, if they're going to do anything, you know, if they're going to make a move somehow out of all of this, guys, and I know everybody's felt bad about it, if you got any pride and, you know, this team wants to kind of turn it around, it has to start Sunday. You cannot go to 0-4 in the division. It doesn't work that way. Mm. I'm not sure it works at 0-3.
Right.
But if you're going to have any hope, you got to start Sunday.
Wes Durham's with us, guys. As we say, Carl, Wes Drewham. That's the thing, Wes. The only silver lining, and again, it's a bit of a reach, is that Zach Robinson had tremendous success with a veteran quarterback last year. Two of the best Falcon performances. Still, the single-game passing record is Kirk Cousins for the comeback Thursday. Just wish we had a healthy Drake London out there because Mooney has been so inconsistent as his Pitts.
Yeah, let's start with the Penix thing, and let's, you know, don't forget, Five's not going to be there either.
Right.
And for me, you know, you have Seven, and you have Five, and then you have everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because those are the two and again, I mean, I think Mike and Carl, I said this to you guys in August when we talked for the first time. Seven is the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. Five ain't far behind.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, whether it's, you know, Kirk Cousins, Michael Penix, or Mike Bell taking snaps.
Yep.
I mean, Seven and Five are the stories. Now, I will say this. One, the guy you had on earlier, he's got the potential. That guy right there is playing really good football. And I'm thrilled for him. I'm thrilled for James Pearson. I kind of like what I see. Now, it didn't go – I don't have any idea why in the world of sports Bryce Young wakes up inside the walls of Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I have no idea. I don't know if it's the water. I don't know if it's the pregame meal or whatever, but it happens. So we got to fix that at some point. But the reality of it is that Jalen Walker and James Pierce have played really, really well. And I know a lot has been discussed in the last week or so about, you know, James Pierce representing a potential top 10 pick this spring because of the trade and everything else. You can't worry about all that. You got to move on. And I think those guys are having really nice rookie years.
West Durham, Saints on tap. Look, both teams struggle, right? We've both struggled so far. I think, you know, for them, and I've said this, I think they are in a true rebuild. I haven't felt that way for us. I didn't feel like that was going to be the situation for us this season.
Yeah.
But with that said, you, Mike, everybody knows. We've been down there time and time again.
Lord,
it is not easy to go down there and win.
Nope.
And they're going to give us our best. Tell me what you think about this New Orleans Saints team right now.
Well, they made a move today. They cut Brandon Cooks loose today. So that leaves Olave and Tipton and Devon Bell and got Taysom Hill still there. How in the world is he still playing in this league, Mike? You know, Kamara still there. And, oh, by the way, Cam Jordan always tones it up when Atlanta shows up. So that'll be interesting.
Right.
They got, I mean, defensively, their numbers aren't terrible when you look at them. I mean, they're ninth in run defense yards per carry at 4. They're ninth defending the pass. I mean, so, you know, we'll see what happens. But I fully expect to see them at full tilt. You guys know that. They'll be down there with all the hijinks in the building. You know, the truth or, you know, what's true and what's not on the scoreboard and all that. I think that's fun. I wish we kind of do that here one time.
Right. Have some fun at their expense.
I honestly
do. Right.
For all the things we do in the stadium, Mike, I'd like to see that in our building one time.
I'm with you.
When the Saints are there.
Right. Kamara's only got one rushing touchdown to Wes's point. Tyler Shuck, you'll see out there. Saints fans will be going bananas. We get all that because this is their Super Bowl.
That's right.
And everything that entails. But you're right, Wes. I mean, I know that nobody wants to hear it right now because everybody's in their feels about this Falcons season. But if there was a frigging Hollywood story that we could see unveil or drop on Sunday, it would be Kirk Cousins turning things around. And by the way, guys,
totally
don't forget,
agree.
You can sync up Wes and Arch with your TV if you don't want to hear Drew Brees on the TV call, by the way.
How about that? I mean, how many times we had Vilma do the Falcons?
I know.
And, Saints, and now we get Drew Brees?
Right. I know. But it's easy to do, guys. It takes like 2 seconds of fiddling with your DVR or whatever you're doing on YouTube. And you get Wes and you're good to go.
No doubt.
Keep the man down. Don't they, Carly? Just keep pushing the man down.
Wes, man, look, got to ask you why we got you, because we know, you know, how big of a college football fan you are and calling all the big games.
Sure.
What's the committee saying to you now? What are they saying to us now?
Well, they're setting the table. Like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, they're setting the table for next week. And you can see it coming right now. And the question, and look, let me clarify one thing about the committee. And several years ago, I went through the mock draft down there, so I've seen this go down. They have not put Miami and Notre Dame together on the board for review. And that's what they're telling you. And the reason they haven't done that yet is because Notre Dame is 9 and Miami is 13. That's 4 spots. They only look at teams in groups of 3. So Miami and Notre Dame, Hunter Yurecek is telling us honestly that the committee has not looked at Notre Dame and Miami together because of their break in the rankings. Mm-hmm. That would make sense because they're 4 spots apart, not 3. If they're 3 spots apart, it's a different story. So I'm interested to see, and I told you guys I think this 3 weeks ago, this next week, that's the one. That's the one. And look, you can put some people in right now. Ohio State's going, Indiana's going, Texas A&M's going.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Georgia's going. Texas Tech is going. The bigger question in the Big 12 is the Big 12 going to get a second team? And is it going to be BYU or Utah? Miami, as much as everybody wants Miami to win these next two games, Virginia Tech and Pittsburgh, that's probably in Miami's best interest, but Miami will not make the ACC championship game. Will enough happen in front of them that the ACC champion, Georgia Tech, hypothetically, maybe Virginia, that kind of thing, would it be a two-team ACC and a one-team Big 12 to go with the SEC and the Big 10 when we finally get down to it?
Right, because BYU, Utah, everybody will be making some noise for those guys too.
And Alabama, to me, Alabama is, you know, they got 2 losses now. They got Florida State and they got Oklahoma. Alabama cannot lose again.
Nope. And it's like they're getting punished but in relation to their ranked record. Their record versus ranked opponents versus Notre Dame, Wes, to be behind Notre Dame. They should be ahead, but it's like they're getting punished for that loss in Tallahassee.
Yeah. No, it's going to be really interesting. But like I said, I think next week is the one. Like, we do this visit next Wednesday, it'll be a whole different discussion for us.
Right. We always pull our hair out. It seems to find an equilibrium, but I still don't trust these guys.
Yeah. Carl, is that the day you're going to be out and Steak's going to be working with Bell?
Yes, one of those days, absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Exciting. It's exciting, cha-cha.
We're going to put that on real radio. Huh?
It's exciting,
you betcha.
Wes, man, have a great call this weekend. Can't wait to see how this college football plays out, but you're absolutely right. I mean, that's what the committee is saying. We've been talking about it today. We'll talk more. Wes, thank you so much, man. We appreciate you jumping back on with us.
Take care, guys. Be well. See
all right.
You soon.
There he is, the voice of our Atlanta Falcons. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. 5 o'clock hour approaching. Coach's interview that we had with Raheem Morris on the way. We'll review what Jalen Walker had to say to us. And the news of the day, Michael Penix is having season-ending surgery for a partially torn ACL.
Full surgery, partially torn. Right?
Well, yes. That's what they're saying. All right, what's it mean? What's the timeline? We'll fill you in on all the blanks coming up. And what did Kirk Cousins say that made everybody here at Flowery Branch laugh? Stay right there.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.